Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Julia Brown is gone, and we're having Ben Rossin on today to talk about that a little bit more. Real interesting how things played out. And as you had heard here before, the analysis, the job review that she had was not ever delivered to her, which is, of course, going to cause a problem during during the lawsuit that she's obviously going to put together. So, and I'm just looking back through a little bit of history of Julia Brown in the position, and I've heard some various things. One of which was that Kiki was behind this, and other people have said that she was, I guess, popular with the people at the county. I don't know anything about that. I had been informed initially that she had gotten a D- on her review, her first review, and from what Ben Rossin was saying, that she was never delivered that or any of her reviews. But Ben Rossin is not the one who told me that she got a D-. Somebody else has had mentioned that. So there's two different stories out there. One is she was just an unbelievable employee. And the other one would be that she was a real problem, and the problem was really only made worse by the fact that she was never given a review. So one of the things that Ben Rossin had mentioned to me, and we'll be able to get this in the studio, but if a person doesn't receive a review, how are they, and they, you know, there's issues that they need to work on, how are they supposed to get better? So I'm sure all these things will come up in the court case. Now here is a clip from looking for the date on this, it's April 19th, before she was fired. John Vasquez, who apparently Bob does not have real warm feelings for, but here is a little clip from KVIA on this before they made the decision to fire Julia Brown.
County Detention Center is claiming Commissioner John Vasquez threatened to get rid of two high-profile county leaders. ABC 7 Jimmy Warren joins us live from our New Mexico Mobile Newsroom with a story you'll see only on ABC 7.
Well, Estella, a source familiar with the allegations, tells me that the county manager's office heard about this complaint from jail captain Justin Porter and asked him to document it on Thursday. We got a hold of this copy through a public records request, and in it, Porter claims Vasquez, who just took office in January, told him that the county would be better once he gets rid of county manager Julia Brown and jail director Chris Barella.
If you remember the conversation that you had with a captain at the detention center a month ago in Santa Fe?
No, I do not recall a conversation.
We asked Commissioner John Vasquez about this document filed within the county by detention center captain Justin Porter.
I can show you a letter that was filed within the county.
In it, Porter claims Vasquez approached him and three other government employees at a Santa Fe hotel. Were you at that hotel on March 7th talking with multiple state employees?
I was in Santa Fe for a committee. I don't know if I was at this hotel.
Porter claims after telling the commissioner he worked at the detention center, Vasquez said, quote, that place is horrible, and quote, he needed to get rid of Chris, referring to jail director Chris Barella. Porter alleges Vasquez followed him to his hotel room to continue the conversation. He says that's when Vasquez told him, quote, when we fire Chris, who will be in charge. He alleges Vasquez also mentioned County Manager Julia Brown, saying, quote, the county will be better when he, meaning Vasquez, gets rid of both of them. Porter says he told Vasquez Barella is not the problem, but Sheriff Kiki Vigil is. As you may remember, in 2015, Vigil was involved in the temporary removal of Barella on charges of fraud at the jail. Those charges were later dismissed.
Do you think whoever filed this was just lying?
Well, I don't know. I haven't read the whole thing.
Well, that was yesterday morning. Vasquez said he needed more time to look over those documents before commenting further. It's now been over 24 hours. He hasn't responded to any of my repeated phone calls. So at this point, it's unclear if this complaint is being investigated. A complaint against a commissioner would have to be submitted to the commission, and then the chairman and another commissioner would then choose whether or not to investigate. I also reached out to Barella and Porter. They also declined to comment. I did try reaching out to County Manager Julia Brown as well, but was unable to hear back from her. Reporting live from the Doniana County Government Center with our New Mexico Mobile Newsroom, Jamie Warren, ABC 7.
And that was, I guess, 8 days ago, so... So, is the jail a terrible place? If it is a terrible place, is Chris Barella responsible for that? Was Julia Brown a bad county manager? Why were the reviews for Julia Brown not delivered to her? Now, I'm just going to play for you a little bit of the, and this is going back about 6 months. Or I guess this would be 8 months. Doniana County Manager Julia Brown gets 3 more years in office. And just let you hear that. I just wanted to before Ben comes at 7, to have laid out a few things for you to think about. So one of the problems, according to Ben, was that she was given a contract extension that increased her pay by 30%. There was no delivery of the reviews that she received. And so the extension and the increase in pay was not delivered on anything public. Number one. Number two, there was a lot of talk, or there was at least some talk that I heard, that she had done an unsatisfactory job, had received a D-, whatever that means, and that they wanted to get rid of her. And so then under that theory, it would have been Billy Garrett, who's apparently on his own marching orders and does whatever he feels is the right thing to do. And he's there. It's just imagine if it was a Christian or a Muslim or a Jewish person or whatever faith you want to put in there, a Hindu person who was going off of their deeply held beliefs and was not responsive to the people around them that they were working with or their constituents in the county. How would you feel about that? I mean, that would be a spectacular disaster, and the media could not get enough to it. But because these people, the Billy Garretts and the Wayne Hancocks, have their own religion, their secular religion of liberalism, they can do whatever they want because the media happens to buy into it themselves. So here is from September 2016, Doniana County Manager Julia Brown gets 3 more years in office.
County Manager Julia Brown got a new contract and a big raise today.
And this is from KFOX.
The tune of an extra $24,000 a year.
KFOX 14 News at 9, Samantha Lewis breaks down Brown's 3-year contract extension and tells us what goals the county hopes to accomplish.
And this commission has many important things to complete. Manager Brown will put those things on track.
This is Wayne Hancock, who's now living in Carpetbagger City, Florida, having been defeated in the primary.
and we will complete them by the end of the year.
Despite some rough patches in recent months, Doniana County Manager Julia Brown has a new three-year contract. For the first year, Brown will make $142,000, the second year, $154,000, and the third year, $168,000. But with a new contract, Brown tells me, comes new hurdles and a lot of work to be done.
Looking at the inventory of roads in the county and looking at the maintenance schedule, as well as infrastructure needs and trying to make some decisions about prioritizing given the limited capital outlay that we have.
Oh, we've got UDC, the Unified Development Code. That's coming up. That's going to be probably a little controversial. There are a lot of people who have neglected to participate in all these years that we've been working on it.
But that isn't the only controversy the commission faces. Three former sheriff's employees have filed a lawsuit against Brown, accusing her of discrimination and violating the state's Whistleblower Protection Act.
We can't have employees that are poorly paid, that are ill-treated, that are being bullied, or working in an environment where they fear either for their safety or their mental health or their jobs.
Brown tells me the commission has a zero tolerance towards discrimination and harassment. She's pleased the commission has a very active workforce improvement committee comprised of employees welcome to speak their mind.
We have to look at the bigger picture. The bigger picture is what's important. And keeping stability and keeping the morale up.
Reporting from our exclusive Las Cruces Bureau, Samantha Lewis, KFOX 14.
And as Wayne Hancock was saying that, he's looking off in the distance like, you know, he's having some sort of vision. The kind of a vision that only a true lefty can have, which must be a state that is very, very highly, very well endowed, let's put it that, and with a lot of power. So let's take a little break here. Got some more Dale Watson for you. And as I say, Ben Rossen, we're going to come in and we're going to tear into this issue of what's going on in the county commission, including Julia Brown. Now, there's going to be certain things that he won't talk about or can't talk about, bearing in mind that this is going to turn into a lawsuit the way that it was handled. And I'm not saying the county commission did it the wrong way, but the history of Julia Brown, for whatever reason, she had to have her job performance review had to be held undercover. So it makes it seem like this is just what it seems like. Whether this is true or not, that Wayne Hancock and Billy Garrett and Julia Brown had some sort of an understanding of stuff that she was supposed to work on for them specifically, and that in the meantime she'd get a raise and a contract extension, and her work reviews would never see the light of day. So whether that's true or not, I have no idea, but I will tell you this, if I was writing this as a movie, that's how it would be. And so that, which makes me ask the question, was the Open Meetings Law Act violated between these people? Who knows? 620 Kelly O'Connell, just telling you what's thoughts on my mind. 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back.
Because it is true. I mean, this study, Kevin is going to have everything wrong.
Heaven's going to have a honky-tonk from Dale Watson, who battled off Satan to come back and reassert his faith, and his career is actually going pretty strong these days. All right, so if you were writing the story of what happened to Doniana and the firing of Julia Brown and the fact that she didn't have any reviews that were ever delivered. And Chris Barella in the jail, and Kiki, and Wayne, and Cock, and Billy Garrett, and all this other stuff that you know about from having lived here. How would you write the story, or how would you kind of fill out the details? And we've got a phone call here. It could be Bob. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Mark. How are you?
Good, Mark. I can barely hear you.
Okay, well, how about this? Is this better?
If you're shouting, I'm not sure it's working, but we'll go with it anyway. I hope you're doing well today, and what's on your mind?
Well, first thing I'd like to talk about is the South Central Regional Transit District bus that the three Musketeers, Wayne, Billy, and Julia, pushed through to the county, even though we said no to the tax increase.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize that so far the bus has spent a little over $600,000 this fiscal year, and that comes out to about $89 every time somebody steps on one of those buses.
What an investment, huh?
Oh, it's incredible.
Can we roll it up to $90 just to keep things a little bit tidier?
We actually could, Kelly. I was trying to be generous because it's $89.66.
All right. $89.666. All right. So, go ahead.
Well, I would just say the county or the transit district would be much better off ordering up a Uber door to door for somebody. I can have a Uber drive me from Anthony to Las Cruces for $59. We'd be better off doing that and get door-to-door service than we are financing this bus.
It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer financially. So it's the ghost fleet, and the sad thing is how poor we are.
There are so many more things that we could do with the county's investment of $450,000. I mean, we could put that towards the deputy sheriff raises that Julia Brown is litigating or was litigating. Thank God she's gone. Or we could put it towards the mental health trauma center that's been sitting empty for the last three or four years.
Like an abandoned nut house. So let me ask you this. Is there anything that you heard about Julia Brown, like just information about whether she was good or bad or indifferent? Since we've never had an evaluation, it sounds like you're the type of person who's probably got a little bit of inside baseball information. Had you ever heard anything about her?
Well, I've heard it's very cliquish over there at the county center. If you're in Julia's team, you're protected. You mentioned Chris Barella. He's another one of these who better be watching out behind his back because his protection is no longer there.
Yeah, and the way things played out makes it all kind of comical. Between Kiki and the jail and everything, but there really is underlying dysfunction, and one of the signs of it is this massive misuse of funds that you're pointing out with the bus.
And the thing was, Wayne Hancock and Billy Garrett pushed it through despite the fact that the voters said no to a tax increase.
So they took away the will of the people. But this is the quintessential posture of leftism, as we know better than you do, and you need to get out of the way while we fix everything.
Well, that's true. They think they know what's better for all of us, even if it costs us $500,000 to do it.
And nobody's riding the bus. Anything else that comes to mind that is not up to snuff?
Well, one other thing that's on my mind is I'm on my way down to Santa Teresa right now for the Shattered Lives program that we're putting on down at Santa Teresa High to fight teen drunk driving. We're going to be staging a mock head-on crash. We're going to have all kinds of fire and rescue will be down there starting at about 10 o'clock. We're going to pry kids out of cars, fly them to the local hospital, But the thing is, we lost our funding from the state through Doniana County Teen Court, and we really have been asking the community for funding to help us with this. We wrote to several law offices and got an abysmal response. But we really need the community to come out and help us with Shattered Glass in Doniana County. There's a GoFundMe page out there. There's a Facebook page. We need help if we want to have this this program continuing.
Let's give us a phone number if people are interested.
You can call me at 644-0882, and I'll steer people to the right way. But if you just go to your Facebook page and type in Shattered Lies of Doniana County, it'll lead you to a GoFundMe page. And hopefully we can get more than the absolutely horrid $238 that we've collected.
Wow, that's pretty bad. Maybe you should ask the bus line for a loan. Well, maybe we can get you.
I asked you for money, and I was fine.
You asked me?
I sent a letter to your office.
I mean, I bet you, Mark, how do you know I saw that letter?
I don't, but...
There you go. This assumptions are not going to help you fill the coffers. So anyway, Mark, thanks for the call.
Okay.
Have a good day, folks. 6:31, and here is a little more Dale Watson for you, but got local news. 6:31 a.m. Las Cruces AM 1450, 523-1450, and 805-618-02 text. I got the text machine right next to me for everybody but Frankie, you incoherent bum. We'll be right back. All right, so here's a little bit more history for you. Sheriff's jail takeover abruptly ends after restraining order issued by Doniana County Manager. Now, here's another question for you. Was Julia Brown open-minded and unbiased, or was she a partisan? Did she pick a side? She's, in theory, the manager of all the people in the county, so check this out.
57 broke the news this morning of the Doniana County jail administrator arrested. He's now jailed in Lovington, New Mexico, near Carlsbad.
So this is December 9th, 2015.
KBIA.com also streamed the news conference live as the sheriff announced Chris Varela was taken into custody. New at 6. ABC 7 just got Chris Varela's mugshot from the security director of the Lea County Jail. That's where Varela is being held on embezzlement and fraud charges. You might remember back in August, you heard Chris Varela telling ABC 7 Sheriff Kiki Vigil was wrongfully connecting him and connected him to things missing from the jail.
He has an agenda. He has a plan. Fine. You want to take over the jail, Kiki? Okay. But do it like a man with integrity. Go to the commission. Let them know you want the jail. Let them know you think you can run it better.
ABC 7's Jamie Warren brought you live coverage of the sheriff's news conference on ABC 7 at noon today. She's live with our New Mexico Mobile Newsroom with what she's learned since then. Jamie.
Estella, a lot has been going on here today at the government center, but the latest development, this order was handed to the sheriff only about an hour ago, forcing his deputies to immediately leave the facility.
There's several charges on him. That's the reason he was taken into custody.
We certainly hope that ultimately he is proven innocent.
Sheriff Vigil announced at a commissioner's meeting 10-year jail administrator Chris Varela was arrested and has since been taken to a facility in Lovington, New Mexico. In the meantime, the sheriff took control of the jail, saying he needed to ensure the safety of inmates and staff. However, his deputy's stay at the facility was short-lived as Julia Brown served him a temporary restraining order.
The premises of the detention center immediately.
I'm holding a press conference and she approaches me like this.
It was probably the only opportunity I would have to see him since he won't talk to me.
I had no opportunity to jail to assure the operations.
I believe it was an illegal and inappropriate activity.
This order was obtained without even notifying me, nothing like that.
The authority for running the detention center has resided in county management since January 1st of 1990.
A permanent injunction will be set later this month. Varela's bond is set at $35,000. Reporting live from the Joniana County Government Center with our New Mexico Mobile Newsroom, Jamie Warren, ABC 7.
Okay, Jamie, thank you for the
523-1450 to call in. But, you know, there's just been a lot of turmoil in the county. And, I mean, when you get phone calls from people like Mark, who just pointed out it's $90 a rider, to go after something that the people voted down repeatedly. And we do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yes, good morning, Kelly. This is Sheriff Kiki.
Sheriff Kiki, great to hear your voice. And how you been? How are things?
Real good. Thank you.
And I take it you were listening to the show. Did you have any comment on anything?
Sir, I sure do. The arrest of Chris Varela, you know, there's checks and balances set in place, so he was never arrested falsely like the state, because there's checks and balances set in place. Two county commissioners, you know, brought it to our attention to look into the county jail, and we went forward, we conducted an investigation, and we came out with the findings. And we took it over to the district attorney. And from there, an arrest warrant and search warrants were issued. At the time, it was Magistrate Perea that reviewed.
Yeah.
So an arrest warrant was issued. So were search warrants. So we did our work on the part of the Sheriff's Department. And for whatever the reason the charges were dropped, that's out of our control. But we did our part. But I'll tell you what, our detectives did a job because we found out that there were about 40 some big screen televisions, those big screen televisions that were purchased at Best Buy.
Uh-huh.
that were missing. And they conducted interviews from some of the command staff and folks there that work at the detention facility that apparently they were taken home by various staff members. They purchased a TV, one of those big screen TVs at Best Buy. Oh, in less than a year's time or 6 months, oh, they'd say the screen's going bad, it's blurry and all this. And then they'd argue among themselves whose turn it was to take it home. And we have interviews. We have folks telling, yes, I took one, but so-and-so took one. And we have that investigation. It's open to the public. I hope the county commissioners will review that.
Absolutely. Well, Kiki, can I ask, Sheriff Kiki, can I ask you just one thing? Yeah, and I understand with a possible lawsuit coming that you may not be able to comment on it, but were you surprised when Julia Brown was removed by the county commission?
You know, no. That decision was made by the county commissioners independently. They're the ones who made the decision. You know, for her to blame me that it was me that was behind it, you know, that's absurd. Everybody should be held accountable to their work performance.
Did you ever hear why they didn't deliver to her for years in a row her work evaluation? I mean, that sounds absurd.
Well, no, my understanding, all you need to do is have some of the past commissioners come in and tell you. But my understanding, there was an evaluation done, and she received a rating of a D.
Mm-hmm.
And just mysteriously, when they renewed her contract, that evaluation went missing in her file. That's my understanding.
For 2 years in a row. For 2 years in a row. Now, let me ask you this. If Julia Brown had met with County Commissioner Billy Garrett and Wayne Hancock, would that be a violation to talk about county business? Would that be a violation of the Open Meetings Act, as far as you know?
You know, I'm not sure about that, but all I know is that the past county commissioner did bring it to my attention that an evaluation was done by the chairman at that time, which was Wayne Hancock, and also Billy Garrett. They did an evaluation of her. The rating was a D overall, and they went and that evaluation all of a sudden disappeared from her file. That's what this one past county commissioner is telling me.
Well, obviously it wasn't Wayne Hancock. Sounds like maybe it could have been David Garcia. Well, I wonder if someone did a FOIA request, if they could get that. There's got to be an original copy of it, right?
Oh, yes, there's got to be some. Because this one past county commissioner that's no longer there has actually told me that there was an evaluation done on her. And, you know, now that they can't find this evaluation that they did on her, and it's not on her file. So I'm thinking that it was either Chairman Wayne Hancock or Billy Garrett at that time that made sure that that evaluation did not exist so they could give her a 3-year extension with a raise.
Well, and then, of course, that makes me ask, was there an agreement, a private agreement between these individuals that would have violated the Open Meetings Act, number one, and number two, created an agreement that was against either the law or against public policy?
You know, you never know. You never know. It might have taken place, but you never know.
That's true. Well, Sheriff Kiki, I appreciate the call. In anything else, can we get you back on the show in any time in the near future?
Like I did state earlier, you know, there are checks and balances set in place, and Mr. Barella was never falsely arrested like he claims. They went on to give him $201,000 as a settlement. This checks and balances set in place. We did our job at the Sheriff's Department. And I'll tell you what, we have the findings and it's open to the public.
Well, maybe we can get a hold of those findings one of these days, but I gotta take a break here. Any concluding thoughts, Kiki?
No, that's it.
Thank you for calling, and thanks for listening to the show.
You got it.
Okay, bye-bye. Sheriff Kiki calling in there. Let's take a break. We'll be back. I got some weather for you. 646, Sheriff Kiki calling in to comment.
God bless some folks with music. What a holy art.
Would you welcome Hugh Hefner? Our traditional values related to sex are not good for people. They're hypocritical. This is my story. Or at least how I remember it.
Brought to you this hour by ECC Solar. They are our oldest solar company in the state of New Mexico, and they can help the sun work for you. You can get a hold of them anytime on
altogether the previous.
And reporting this morning is our special nipple traffic reporter, Shayla. Go ahead, Shayla. Right. You could also expect a few delays along West Side El Paso Mesa Street with that I-10 expansion out there as well. It's the Zia Country Morning Ride. Take your kid to work day.
Altogether, the previous administration bypassed the states to place over 265 million acres. That's a lot of land. The Antiquities Act does not.
All right. So some follow up New Mexico news. Just a brief shocking announcement. The guy that blocked the president from applying the ban of federal funds to sanctuary cities was actually a bundler for President Obama. He delivered almost $250,000 in collected campaign contributions, and his wife is a radical abortion rights activist. And they say that he bought his way onto that court by, or at least some people are saying that's through being a bundler. And the article that I read talked about the corruption that Obama brought in by having so many of these people put into permanent positions in the federal government and in which to do his bidding or to be on the same page. Now, the Antiquities Act, the legislation involved with that, the taking of the Oregon Mountains, all this is under review. We had mentioned it yesterday, but here is a statement from President Trump on this.
Administration bypassed the states to place over 265 million acres. That's a lot of land. Million acres. Think of it. 265 million acres of land and water under federal control through the abuse of the monuments designation. That's larger than the entire state of Texas. In December of last year alone, the federal government asserted this power over 1.35 million acres of land in Utah, known as Bear's Ears. I've heard a lot about Bear's Ears, and I hear it's beautiful. Over the profound objections of the citizens of Utah, the Antiquities Act does not give the federal government unlimited power to lock up millions of acres of land and water. And it's time we ended this abusive practice. I've spoken with many state and local leaders, a number of them here today, who care very much about preserving our land and who are gravely concerned about this massive federal land grab. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse. And now we're going to free it up, which is what should have happened in the first place. This should never have happened. That's why today I'm signing this order and directing Secretary Zinke to end these abuses and return control to the people of Utah, the people of all of the states, the people of the United States. Every day we are going to continue pushing ahead with our reform agenda to put the American people back in charge of their government and their lives. And again, I want to congratulate the secretary. I want to congratulate Orrin and Mike.
All right. So what's going on is a review of a couple of dozen properties, areas where land was taken by the federal government. And one of them is Oregon Mountain. And so they're going to review that now. Okay, so what is the law on this? All right, so I've got this article by Politico, and they were saying that first of all, Obama took 265 million acres under control of the federal government, $250 million acres. And reading through this article from Politico, it says the order gives Zinke 45 days to file an interim recommendation and 120 days to issue suggestions for legislation or for Trump to revoke or slim down the size of any monuments that cover 100,000 acres or more that were created under the Antiquities Act, which would, I think, obviously cover Oregon Mountain. The order does not make any assertions as to the scope of Trump's authority to revoke monuments, Zinke said, and he reiterated his belief that the president can revise the scope of monument designation, though the broader authority to delist monuments remains untested in courts. While presidents have tweaked the size of their predecessors' monument designations, for example, President Dwight D. Eisenhower reduced Colorado's Great Sand Dunes National Monument by 25%, none have fully entirely revoke the status of any existing monuments. Environmental groups and tribal officials say they stand ready to sue over any attempts by Trump to change the footprint or eliminate designations of existing monuments. And I think if this went to court and the court was willing to, if let's just say that Trump came in and he canceled the Oregon designation, and then they took it to court, because there's a number of environmental groups, I'm sure, including the Wilderness Alliance in state, who would go to court and try to block that. I think one of the issues would come up was what was the original power, the Antiquities Act, that these decisions were made by, and did the president follow the letter of the law? And I think, you know, in a lot of these cases, they were not antiquities that were involved. It was just a way to so-called protect territory that was under threat of some kind, which is not the same as protecting antiquities. So I don't know. I mean, who knows what would happen? But, you know, the guy that blocked the sanctuary city funding from being stopped is a guy that, I mean, it's just amazing to me how there's all these plants out there, not just in the media, not just in Hollywood and in the university system, but in federal government now. There's a lot of plants. You know, Obama had eight years to stick his people in there. And when you're on the far left, the only thing that matters is politics, your political persuasion and your commitments. 69, Kelly O'Connell, AM, Las Cruces, AM, 1450, 523, 1450, and 805-6180 to text. And we've got Ben Rossen coming in after a break on the hour. Don't go away. Uh, 706 and AM Las Cruces. We got the Rossen Report coming up here. And nationally and internationally, the news is North Korea. Locally, it is Julia Brown's sudden and decisive firing at the hands of the county commission. And we do have Ben Rossen here to comment on this. And also, I'm also going to ask him a little bit about the Oregon Mountains and what he's heard about that. But good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Kelly. Yeah, the Oregon Mountains, boy, I think you were ending the last hour on that, so maybe we'll start there. But, you know, as President Trump put it, President Obama put more acreage than the entire state of Texas.
That's shocking.
That's huge.
If you did that, if every president did that within a couple of years, just a couple of years, the entire United States would be a national monument.
That's right.
And with no business would shutter to a halt.
Well, I'm very pleased that President Obama is relooking at this, and hopefully will at least shrink the size of the monument here in Doñana County.
And what do we have to gain by that being shrunk, that monument size?
Well, you know, Kelly, one of the things that used to happen with federal lands is that we would have the federal government pay us a PILT, a payment in lieu of taxes. And that money would help compensate the county for the services that are still provided in those monument areas. But recently, the federal government has been decreasing the size of that PILT payment and not keeping the counties whole on that. So one of the things that happens is that we can still collect property tax on that and other tax revenues from there to provide the services that still take place, because there's still sheriff services that go on out there. There's a lot of fire services that go on out there. We have search and rescue things that go on, there's still services that the county provides in the monument.
Now, the size of the thing is 500,000 acres, 500,000 acres.
That's right.
So if we were going to reduce it, how many acres would we need to protect that pristine area?
Well, you know, Kelly, I think part of that is the whole, it was sold as the Oregon Mountains. And I think everyone who lives here believes in the pristine, as you mentioned, of the Oregon Mountains, the beauty that we have there. But that's a small portion of what the monument actually covers and includes two large swaths of land on the west side of the county. And so we've got those areas there. You know, going back to the Oregon Mountains, the map has been drawn so large around the Oregon Mountains that we're having a problem with electricity service because El Paso Electric has lines that go through the new monument that they can't do maintenance on. And they can't make expansions and do the things that they need to do on those lines. So I think there's some big benefits to the county in that being reduced and to the residents in that being reduced.
And that will aid us financially.
It sure will.
How so?
Primarily the property tax that the county would be collecting on that land then.
Okay. All right. Now let's shift gears here and let's discuss Julia Brown.
Well, Kelly, real quick before we get into that, I want
to
mention that yesterday was the one-year anniversary of the MRVDA, the Mesilla Valley Regional Dispatch Authority, our 911 center, being in the new building. I had a great opportunity yesterday to go over there and celebrate with the dispatchers, the wonderful men and women that we have that answer those 911 calls. I have a lot of respect for those people, and it was just incredible to be there and celebrate with them. Being 1 year in their new facility and all the work that they do. So I just wanted to recognize them real briefly before we get into the Julia Brown deal.
All right. And if you go to mvrda.org, there's an entire website dedicated to Mesilla Valley Regional Dispatch Authority. And by opening that up, what did we gain?
Well, Kelly, the individuals that answer the 911 calls used to be located right on Amador, and that's where the building used to be, a very small building. Didn't have good security. It didn't have good ventilation. There were a lot of problems with it. When I first did a sit-in with the 911 dispatchers where I sat there for a full shift to learn more about what they were doing, the bathrooms were not working that day. They had water problems, and so the bathrooms were not usable. And, you know, that type of thing was apparently a fairly regular occurrence. So I'm pleased that we're in a new state-of-the-art building. We gave a tour to the New Mexico Association of Counties yesterday on the building. And as people from different counties came down to take a look at it, just a great opportunity to show people how a PSAP, a public safe, and now I've drawn a blank on the acronym, but how that works, because we answer all the 911 calls for the city of Las Cruces, the county, Hatch, Anthony, Sunland Park, all of those areas all get answered at this one place, and all the dispatch happens from there, whether it's for police, sheriff, fire, ambulatory services, all of those calls get dispatched out of that one station, and that is unusual. Not all counties have that. We're real blessed to have that.
Uh-huh.
Keeps us from having one person answering calls for police services and someone else answering calls for fire, and then you've got to transfer them between each
uh-huh.
other. So
uh-huh.
it gives a lot better service to those people who are calling in for 911.
Absolutely. Okay, so Julia Brown.
Julia Brown.
People were shocked, but there has been a tremendous amount of turmoil in the county for the past couple of years. And you have come on the show and not infrequently commented on this.
You know, Kelly, there's been, I find it really, really interesting when Billy Garrett gets up there and complains that she's being, and keep in mind, Kelly, she's a contract employee. She has a contract. She can be terminated at will. There's no requirement for her to serve out the full length of her contract. There is a buyout provision in there, or a golden parachute, if you'd like, that's in there. But there's nothing illegal with terminating a county manager whenever you wanted to. and you do not have to give a reason. That being said, Billy Garrett was very upset that we did not do an evaluation before terminating her. But we did. And Kelly, that's the point I'm going to make, is that that rings so hollow when the fact of when Billy was chairman of the county commission and when Wayne Hancock was chairman of the county commission, the commission went through the process of a review and yet never provided that review to Julia. The chairperson in both cases, once Commissioner Garrett, once Commissioner Hancock, did not give the evaluation to Julia and did not file the evaluation with HR.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Did you ever personally, or did the board, the county commission, ever look into as a body why that happened?
No, Kelly, I was not even aware of that until earlier this month when Julia brought that to my attention. I was going off the premise that she had been given both of those evaluations.
Did you ever see the evaluations?
Kelly, I worked on them, but of course that was in closed session, so I can't discuss that.
You can't discuss it, but all right, so here's a question. Is there a copy of that somewhere? If the thing in her file, you know, grows wings and flies away, is there an original?
Kelly, that would be a great question for Chairman Hancock at the time and Chairman Garrett at the time.
Is there any chance, and one of the callers that we had yesterday, he didn't want to go on the air, but he talked about doing a citizen lawsuit against the county for some of its malfeasance. Is there a chance that Wayne Hancock will be called back from Florida to be in front of any kind of fact-finding or other type of investigation in this situation?
Kelly, I don't know. I would think that would probably be a stretch, but it's what ought to happen. He needs to come and answer for that, because Billy and Wayne, or Commissioner Hancock and Commissioner Garrett, then decided to give Julia a 3-year extension without doing any evaluations or without giving her any evaluations, give her a 3-year contract extension, give her a 30% raise, and more than triple her golden parachute. And then now Billy complains, that we've terminated her without doing an evaluation. And it's like, you know, that is such a, there's a lot of hypocrisy in that. When you have somebody who refuses to give out an evaluation, gives a 30% raise and a 3-year contract, and then gets upset during a termination that, well, you need to give her an evaluation first. But there was no interest in giving her an evaluation before giving her a 3-year contract extension.
There was an interest in hiding the evaluation. That would be like a pyromaniac complaining about the cost of fire insurance, wouldn't it?
There you go. And, you know, Kelly, keep in mind that this contract was given after Wayne Hancock had already lost his reelection bid, after David Garcia had already lost his reelection bid. And those two teamed up with Billy Garrett, the only person who is still going to be on the commission, and gave her a 3-year contract extension for the purpose of making sure that the new commission did not have a say in who was running the county. And that's wrong. That shows a lack of respect for the incoming commissioners, and that shows a lack of respect for the voters that ousted the chair and vice chair of the county commission.
Do you think, Ben, it is possible that Billy Garrett and Wayne Hancock and maybe even David Garcia, that they believed that they had, that their personal beliefs were more important than the views of the citizens of Doniana, the residents, and that they had more legal rights to do what they wanted because of what they believed?
You know, Kelly, I'll speak specifically to Wayne Hancock because of some of the comments that he made in the commission meetings and as he was leaving the county. But he was extremely angry at the voters, and he didn't care at that point about what was in the best interest of Doniana County. And I think a lot of his actions there, whether it was Julia's contract or the UDC, was a matter of stick it to the voters. They didn't reelect me. I'm going to do whatever I want to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we see that through this 3-year contract extension, 30% raise, tripling of the golden parachute, binding of the hands of the new commissioners so that they could not lead the commission in the direction that they wanted to go. And that's flat out wrong. And Kelly, it has put the county in an enormous liable situation.
So I know you can't really talk about why Julie was fired, but were there any public comments that you could share that some of the concerns that people called up with you as their representative? Was there anybody that told you that they were concerned about her or what was going on?
Absolutely,
what
Kelly.
What were some of those concerns?
Well, you know, the biggest one, and Kelly, I'm going to put the biggest complaint that I heard is back on the contract extension, because that contract extension was given in a meeting that I had given notice I could not be at. I had a family situation that was there. And so then Wayne put that on the agenda. Then you have, so that passed 3-1 with me not being there, and it would have been 3-2 because there's no way I would have approved that. So you have a situation here where only three commissioners wanted to give her that raise. Two of them lost their reelection bid, and they went ahead with that anyway. And now we've got Billy Garrett complaining that, well, you shouldn't have terminated her because we didn't do an evaluation. And it's just funny.
Here's a dumb question, but could Billy Garrett get in trouble for the things that he's done in regarding this?
Kelly, I think he's in big trouble with the commission on it.
What powers does the commission have if they wanted to address his wrongdoing, if they came to the conclusion that he had done wrong? What powers does the board have?
You know, Kelly, when Commissioner Garrett does that, right before three new commissioners come on, if not the intention, the result in binding the commissioner's hands and saying, I don't trust the new commissioners to do what's in the best interest of the county, so I'm going to do this ahead of time so they don't get a say. Well, he's lost respect. He's lost influence. And I mean, that's probably the biggest thing that can happen when you're in a legislative body, when you're making laws. Your respect and your ability to work with other people is the only thing that you have, and he's lost all of that.
Now, what are the chances that it was an accident that both of those reports were job reviews were lost? And we
zero.
Take that call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Aaron, Kelly.
Hey, Aaron. Good to hear you again. And what's on your mind?
It just seems that this kind of thing is a repeat. It's almost like they took a playbook out of the Obama administration on their way out the door to just, you know, plant some landmines and create chaos and attempt to tie the hands of the people on their way out the door, because they don't believe what the people believe, and they're going to do whatever they want.
That's exactly right, Aaron.
We need to beat these people at the grassroots level. And I'll tell you, there's an interesting thing. I have kids in school, and I was a recent graduate. I became an RN about a year ago.
Congratulations.
I retooled at 50. I went back to school and became an RN. And I can tell you that there's a lot of this kind of thing going on at the university level and at the high school level, where you know, I get the report where recently was told that a history teacher at one of the high schools, I won't say which, referred to Donald Trump as Hitler. And, you know, so I fight it. I make the call. I tell them they need to keep their trap shut over there. I'm going to go over there and raise all kinds of, you know, cane. But it's everywhere. It's in our schools. Also here, don't think that we're immune from it, because we're not. And parents and people who have a better understanding of our country and what's going on just need to be aware.
Thank you very much, Aaron. Have a good day. All right. We'll take a little break here. And can you stay for one more section?
Be glad to, Kelly.
And got a little Dale Watson, the man who battled off Satan to reaffirm his faith. 722 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces with Ben Rossin on the Rossin Report. Hard hitting, and we're finding about a little inside baseball on Julia Brown's demise. Be right back.
I believe what I believe. Thanks.
This is Satan. I mean, Hey, it's Kelly.
Hi, this is Harold. How are you?
Good, Harold. What's going on?
I was just wondering if you could ask Ben if the jail is going to go back into the hands of the sheriff instead of the county cabin patroller. I mean,
holy cow. Harold, we got to ask this on the air. You want to go on the air?
Sure.
All right. Appreciate the call and the listening, and we just got a few seconds here. And could you speak up, because there's something wrong with this connection when people call in. So just talk a little bit louder.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to
Hold on. Just a second. We're coming on the air right now. All right, folks. We do have a caller here, and it's Harold. And Harold, you were wondering now if Julia Brown is gone, and she's the one that got the restraining order. Does Kiki then get the jail back? Is that the question?
That's the question, yeah.
You know, Harold, I think that's a very good question, and I certainly hope not. You may remember, or at least what happened when Sheriff Vigil took over the detention center on a Tuesday morning with the use of SWAT and special forces, I forget the name of the unit that went in there, but they took that over. They told the individuals there at the detention center that if you resist, we will arrest you for resisting, and we're now taking over the detention center, something along those lines. Afterwards, the sheriff has, I think there's a lot of questions about that, and I don't want to get into what his thoughts were, because I don't know what they were. But we had a county commission meeting that morning, and during the meeting, I stated that that is a third world, that's like a third world dictator walking in and taking over something by force. And I was the only commissioner that spoke against it from the podium. And so I certainly hope not. By all means, I have no problem if we want to have a discussion at the county commission, if the sheriff would like to come and talk to us about why the sheriff's department should be in charge of it instead of the county commission, and we could certainly have a discussion. But I think that really should be left to a future sheriff at this point.
Thanks for the call, Harold. I have another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
This is Sheriff Kiki.
Yeah, Sheriff Kiki.
Hi, Sheriff.
Thanks again for calling in earlier. We really appreciated it. And what's on your mind now?
No, I just want to say that this was not a takeover of the county jail. I had no intention of taking over it. This was only done to secure a crime scene where search warrants were being executed. But it was not a takeover of the county jail. I had no intention of taking over the county jail, you know, especially in the conditions that the county jail's in. You know, it was a crime scene. We were there to execute search warrants. And I guess Mrs. Brown thought that I was taking over the county jail, but at no time were threats made to any of the personnel over there. As a matter of fact, the district attorney was there with me at the county jail to preserve a crime scene to make sure that these search warrants were being executed.
Okay. And so the gentleman just called in. You don't have any plans on taking the jail over now?
No, of course not. They got their own problems just like we do at the Sheriff's Department. We can't even keep our own personnel because they're underpaid. You know, we keep losing them left and right. They're underpaid. They go to the academy. We spend an average of $55,000 to send to the academy. Then in a couple of years, we lose them either to the City of Las Cruces Police Department or the State Police because they pay more. So we've done the math. We spent easily over $1 million to send our folks over to the academy and then lose them. And then the thing about it is also we spend over $1 million in overtime in our personnel and our deputies because we're spread out thin and we're having to work, you know, various shifts, double shifts.
Sheriff, if I could jump in, I think that one of the concerns that that we heard from Harold is something that we've heard out in the community a little bit about you now having complete control over the commission. And I think that's kind of been an interesting people to say, but there's not much reality to it or much truth to it. And I'd point out what you're talking about right now on the compensation. Last year, under the last commission, the commission appealed a judge's ruling on the contract, and you've repeatedly requested for us to stop that appeal so the sheriff's deputies could get their raise. And in closed session, of course, I can't talk about what we discussed in closed session, but on the agenda four times now with the new commission has been that contract, and the new commission, all four of those times, has not taken a stance of stopping that appeal. So, and I'm certainly not trying to insult you, but just to let listeners know that you don't have full control over the commission right now.
Yes, and that's true. That's true. And that, you know, if I did, they would automatically right away give them our deputies the raise. So they're independent thinkers. They're independent decision makers. You know, I have no control over them. You know, and it's the union. It's the union of the sheriff's department that's fighting this. You know, I'm an administrator, and the union is the one that's appealing. You know, well, the union is the one that's taking the county into arbitration and the courts and the whole procedure here.
But that may give people like Harold out there that are concerned that you're now king of the county some confidence. But I hope that you and I are able to continue working together, because it is in the best interest of the residents if we work closely with our sheriff's department.
Oh yes, of course. We're here to provide public safety for the whole county. And, you know, all you county commissioners are independent thinkers, independent decision makers, you know. You guys make the decisions, you know, you know, I thank you for your job. You know, you guys do a very good job. You know, you guys have hard decisions to make, and that's why you were elected by the people.
You,
just like myself, I was elected by the county. And
that's right.
I also have to provide public safety.
Indeed, the people have spoken. Anything else, Sheriff Kiki?
No, I just wanted to make you know, a statement that my plans were not to take over the jail. It was to preserve a crime scene to execute these search warrants. And like I said, the district attorney was there with me at the county jail.
Makes perfect sense. Thanks for the call. Have a great day.
Okay.
We have another call. Thanks for the call to Kelly, who kind of shows this.
Good morning. It's Lily. How are you guys today?
Good, Lily. What's going on?
Good. I have a couple of questions for Commissioner Rossen. I want to know why Julia Brown and Deborah Weir gave other employees 48% pay increases, 52% pay increases, 148% pay increases. Why do we need a second county manager assistant? I want to know what power do they have. It's not their money. It is taxpayer money, and yet they're giving pay raises across their favorite people. Now, if Cindy Capanna was really interested in keeping all the employees happy and
Lily, not to interrupt you, but are you making a point or asking a question? It's a little bit hard to follow, just for the listeners.
Okay. I want to know, what power do they have to give those pay increases? I mean, if it's to keep their employees happy, it should have been across the board and not only certain individuals.
In other words, why does Julia Brown deserve or get a big pay increase up to $178,000 a year when the sheriffs are not getting their pay raise or getting
absolutely. Our first responders, law enforcement, search and rescue, these are the people that are putting their lives for us, yet they're getting paid less. A peanut is for putting their lives at stake. Commissioner Rossen, why aren't you doing more for law enforcement? Why aren't you fighting more? Why does Vincent Bakuda get 148% pay increase? Why does Jess Williams get 52% pay increase? Deborah Weir, 48. What do they get? And
Lily, they may have given Jess Williams a pay increase to cover the car that was snatched by Julia Brown.
Kelly, let me jump in there, Lily.
I've been
kind of waiting for a breath there to jump in. I appreciate the passion that I'm hearing behind the question. I would point out that some of those increases that you've talked about are people that have taken new positions. And so like Vince Pocluda has taken a new position, and so that he got a promotion, not just a raise. That's not quite the same with Jess Williams. And you mentioned a few other names, but those were the top two that came to my mind. But your question of why am I not doing more for the deputies, I really wish, Lily, I could explain to you about what's been happening in closed session. But unfortunately, I can't discuss that. But I would say that the commission is having regular conversations. Even this last Tuesday, we had a conversation about the union contract, and we'll continue to be working on that, Lily. And I do very, very much value the sheriff's deputies that we have. I've gone out on multiple ride-alongs with them to see exactly what's going on and be a part to try to show some encouragement and that I care and doing shifts that end after 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, because that's important to me to do a full shift and not just go out there for a photo op and move on, but to really get a chance to talk with the deputies while I'm sitting in the car, to see the challenges they're having with the radios when they have to stand next to their unit and hold their radios straight up in the air to try and get reception in some parts of the county and to see those situations. As the
that's ridiculous. That
it sure is.
The Statue of Liberty is ridiculous.
It sure is. As the chair of MRVDA, the Mesilla Valley Regional Dispatch Authority, I've done multiple ride-alongs or sit-ins there as well, where I've sat in with the dispatchers and listened to what's going on and am able to be a part of it. You know, the last ride-along I did with a sheriff's deputy, I went down to Anthony, which is well outside of my district county, and so that's why I went down there to the Anthony station there. It was the very day and the very shift when we lost a law enforcement officer up in Hatch. And I got to sit next to one of our sheriff's deputies going through the emotion of that situation, of realizing that he also puts his life on the line every time he gets into that vehicle, and also knowing that he had to respond and what he had to do, and that although he wanted to go up and be a part of the manhunt, he still needed to serve the rest of the county. And I saw that very, very difficult decision for him to do what was in the best of the county and not to do what he really wanted to do, which was to go up there and assist in that pursuit. And thankfully they found those individuals, but it was a very, very difficult shift to do a ride along with. And I am so glad that I was there to have the opportunity to see what these great men and women go through on a daily basis.
Lily, we're going to have to take a break for the ads, but I always appreciate your phone calls. Hope you have a good day.
One more
briefly
thing, you know,
briefly, Lily, 5 minutes or less.
All the people that spoke for Julia Brown, all of them got favorably a pay increase and promotions. That's something to look into.
Well,
thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Lily. All right, let's.
Kelly, I'd like
to
respond
to
that just quickly, because we did have many county employees that spoke up in support of Julia, and I'm glad that they did. I think, you know, there's been some talk that they shouldn't have done that, and I don't see it that way. For someone who has a view, to be able to have the freedom to come express it without fear of retaliation, and I'm glad that they came up and spoke. Lily is correct. Many of those did receive not necessarily all raises, but promotions and other things, but that not all of them did. There were people there that showed up that did not get favorable treatment, and I think it's important to recognize that. That being said, I'm very pleased that we've selected Chuck McMahon as the acting county manager right now, and I think he'll do a great job of moving the county forward.
Very nice. We'll take a break, and I think Ben's out here. Thanks for the calls. And we'll take a little bit of a break here with Dale Watson. But thanks for coming in, Ben.
Thank you.
And, folks, we'll be right back.
God bless some folks with music. What a holy hour.
Good good segment with Ben. And, you know, I do think it is important to let people know that there were fans of Julia Brown and not necessarily all of those people were her fans because of a pay raise. And so, you know, I've heard some complimentary things about her. My memory of her, though, is pretty influenced by what she did on the TV, whether that was the right thing to do or not. To go in and serve the sheriff that paperwork on TV. Maybe it was exactly the right dramatic thing to do, but it came across to me as a little bit overly aggressive and a little rough around the edges, if you know what I mean. And we have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, this is Jim again. Good. Twice in 2 days.
Well, it's good to have you back, Jim. It's wonderful you're calling in again. What's on your mind?
See, I was hoping to have caught Ben on this last segment. I'll make this a question. Maybe you could forward or maybe help answer it. My question would be, the gentleman that's taking Julia Brown's place, if he's doing, as Ben said, he's going to probably help move the things forward and do a good job. Has he been offered that position permanently? If so, why would we be doing a search for someone else if he might be able to do it?
Well,
that
mean,
been my question.
Oh, I think part of the answer is there's don't you think that there is a I think it's the law that they have to do a search. I don't think you can just choose somebody because it seems like nepotism, you know.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of like the basketball coaches or promotions at the NMSU. You have to do a search team, and
right.
You,
exactly.
Even though you know somebody you want. Is
exactly.
Among you. Yeah.
Exactly. Thanks for the call, Jim. I have another call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. Hey, this is Ben Ross, and I'm just driving away from the studio, but thought I'd call in and respond to that question real quick, if that's all right.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. I was actually going to call you off the air and see if you wanted to call back in. So the answer to Jim's question is, who is the guy that's in the position, and if he's good enough, why do we have to do a separate search?
The individual is Chuck McMahon. He's been one of our assistant county managers for as long as I have been a commissioner. He was one of the top finalists when we hired Julia for the county manager role, and so he's been around and involved with the county for a long time. So during the last meeting when we fired Julia, it was important to put somebody in charge immediately so that there was somebody to sign paperwork and be in charge of the county, and it wasn't left as a leaderless organization. We're going to have a special meeting on Tuesday of next week at 1:00 in the afternoon where we're going to discuss what the next steps are. And those next steps could include hiring Chuck permanently. It could include deciding that we're going to go out for a national search. It could include that we're going to do an internal search. There's a lot of different things that could be done there. And so that'll be a decision that the full commission makes next Tuesday. But we thought it was best to, or at least I thought it was best in the heat of the moment, not to make a quick decision, but rather take some time to think about it and then come back and make a decision on how we're going to move forward together.
All right.
And if the caller feels strongly about that, he needs to contact his commissioner and let them know.
Very good. People are going to wonder, by the way, if Julia borrowing her underling's car for a year had anything to do with her untimely dismissal.
Kelly, I don't think so.
Okay. All right, Ben, thanks so much for the Rossin Report. It's so informative, and I know people ask me all the time about you and such. And also, thanks for sponsoring the show.
Absolutely, Kelly. And if other people would like to get a hold of me, you can reach me on my cell phone at 649-4153. All of the commissioners' information is listed on donianacounty.org. You can reach each of your commissioners, and there's also a map to show you which district you may live in.
Thanks so much, Ben.
All right. Bye.
Well, at least Julia got a car out of the when all is said and done. Well, let's take our last break here. 523-1450. Interesting times, interesting situations. Do you blame now that you know what you know, that these reports, these job reviews were not turned in, even though that they were, you know, paid for and completed by the county and undoubtedly are statutory in nature, these job reviews. And here's the question that I have for you. Billy Garrett, Wayne Hancock, chairman, job review done of a lady who's controversial, who apparently got a very low rating. Why didn't they turn these in? The transparent answer to this, because they decided to give her a pay raise and extend her contract, the transparent answer to why they didn't turn in the job reviews is because they were damning. So, I mean, that can't, in my opinion, be a legal move. I don't think that the chairman would have the authority to not turn in something like that, and then to turn around and give her a pay raise, and then after she's fired, complain that the employee never had the job evaluation is beyond absurd. What do you think of Billy Garrett? 523-1450-805-6180 to text, and I'll take in your text when I come back. 748 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, and we'll be right back for that.
But then the devil seen us envious souls, damn the songs in our hearts.
All right, here is a text. It's only a violation if a majority of members meet outside normal meeting schedule. The question was it a violation of the Open Meetings Act? I disagree. And we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Chuck. Good morning.
Morning, Chuck. Hope you're well. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to make a comment. You know, a lot of people like me, we don't know a lot about procedures of the county commission. And there's something that probably bothers a lot of people. I notice that a lot of times people will mention something. Well, we talked about that in closed session, so I can't tell you about it.
Right.
It may be perfectly legitimate. I'm sure it probably is. But after all the problems with the county commission, that really sounds not too good to the average person listening. There's all this discussion going on, but the people don't know exactly what was said because it was closed session.
All right, Chuck, let me ask hold on a second. Let me ask you this. Do you think, therefore, that everything that is said in a closed meeting needs to be, therefore, broadcast?
Not necessarily, but I would say that it might be a good thing for the county commission to try to, if possible, under their rules, to limit closed session a little bit more because it, even if it's perfectly legitimate, it doesn't sound very good.
Uh-huh. Right.
You see what I'm saying?
I hear you, man. I do. I hear you. Thanks for the call. Have a good day. 523-1450 if you have an opinion. And, you know, I mean, the fact of the matter is a big problem in local government is people don't know what's going on. And so here's a suggestion to the county commission. Start meeting at a time when people can go. To the city council, schedule meetings so that people can take part. We want, I mean, by definition, our government, by definition, is led by private citizens who enter in. There's no, you know, where this is not a hereditary kingship or ruled by oligarchy, elite families. These are just private citizens. And, you know, one of the things that people find out an unpleasant experience is to find when individuals run for office and they change and they become convinced that they're a great person or a big person. And the mayor came into the studio when I had a bunch of people at running for office. And I said, we had a bunch of politicians that were in the studio to, you know, for their campaigns for the election. And he turns to me and says, I'm not a politician. I'm a statesman. And I was astounded. I really, I mean, absolutely just about fell out of my chair. But, you know, it's very easy to buy into the myth. And people that buy into the myth become less effective or totally ineffective because they're caught up in themselves. You're here, you're in county commission not to impress your neighbors and your family and put your name in the history books. You're there to serve the people. And if you don't understand that, it is time to leave. And that's true for the county. It's true for the city. Now, all right. So I would say if two county commissioners get together with a county manager and discuss things that are of a nature that should be handled publicly in the county commission meetings, that's a violation. That's just my impression. But another thing is if they're colluding, if they're agreeing to do things that are either against the law or against public policy or the interests of the electorate, the residents, the citizens, then that's a violation of the spirit of that act. Just my opinion. Kudos to the county commission for getting rid of Julia Brown. Downtown Julia Brown is out. Can Bill the Gay Evangelist McCamley be the next to go, please, please, please? All right. The Gay Evangelist, I think, is feeling fairly secure these days and very exuberant. This was a movie, it would start in the Twilight Zone. Then they would all get on a city bus and Mayor Ken would drive them to the outer limits. Well, that's a very, very apropos statement. Did you ever get my text about hearing Frankie call the Mark Levin show and saying his name was Francois? Oh my gosh. Proud to say there is a Crusader cross on my English ancestry coat of arms. I would gladly pick sword and shield to carry to an old family tradition. Very nice. All right. So, and just got one. If this is not ironic that Julia Brown's evaluation was made to disappear, isn't this like the dog ate my homework excuse? Aren't evaluations simply my learning tools? This would have helped her improve her performance had she given herself up for peer or people review. She could still be there. Very good point. I've got a story, a very bizarre story. Somebody was cremated that was so fat that it caused the cremation room to burst into flames.
With your Honda beat at your Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky Honda dealers.
The news we've been following overnight, the Cincinnati Fire Department responding to an unusual fire in Clifton. In fact, as you can see here, it happened at the Hillside Chapel Crematory. No one was hurt in the fire. Not on your side. Kristen Swilly joins us live outside the facility. And so, Kristen, crematoriums actually take precautions to prevent fires from spreading, correct?
Yes, these facilities are highly fire safe, fireproof, and they are designed to keep accidents like this from happening. So the fire did not spread any further. We're told this all started as a standard cremation, and because of fat in the body, that is when things went awry down here at this crematorium. So it took crews about 2 hours to put it out. You can see the accident caused flames to spread to nearby containers and parts of the surrounding room here at Hillside Chapel Crematory. The owner tells us no other bodies or parts of the building were damaged by the fire, and the operation is now back up and running after what he calls an unfortunate accident.
The containers that we use, that we have to place remains in order to cremate them, that's the only thing that's burnt.
The owner tells us this has never happened before. There are alarms here that alerted him immediately after it took place, as well as cameras to monitor safety. Reporting live in Clifton this morning, Kristen Swilly, 9 on your side.
My goodness, too fat to burn up. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. We just got a few seconds. Who's this?
This is Bob, Kelly. I wanted to get you why very honorable Ben Rawson is there. And basically just say thank you for the work that you both do.
Thanks, Bob. Bob, thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. You're out of time there, buddy. Thanks for the call. It's not a complete show unless Bob calls in. We'll take you out with some Dale Watson. Have a great day. 22 hours. We'll see you again. Ciao.
God bless some folks with music. What a holy hour. and the devil's seen us
envious. Hey, it's Kelly, who's this?
Damn the song.
It's Kelly, who's this?
Yeah, it's Chuck. I just want to try and catch you off the air and say that Mir Miyagishima.
We go through life.
A definition. Yeah.
Just like.
Okay. One. Thank you.
Oh, the music is drowning me out.
Okay, thank you.
Always one.